Axe and Neil Haley show, and I guess it's bringing the band back again, and that's going to be the new theme of what's happening. I met Jennifer when I was a teacher at St. Agnes. That was so long ago, before even I had a radio show on WRCT or nationally syndicated, where I'm at now. And Jennifer was with WQED. She's now with Hello Studios CEO, Jennifer Stansel. Jennifer, thanks for stopping by. And, you know, I would have never thought that, right? How many years has that been? 18 years?
Oh my God, something like that,
because I don't think I started my show yet when I was with St. Agnes, and I would think I was close in the process. So we'll say 15, we'll say 16.
I think 15 years, at least 15 years. But what I find is wonderful, Neil, is that Pittsburgh always is ripe with connections, and those connections always continue. So thanks for having me today. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yeah, with the education piece, you went from WQED to the Children's Museum in Tampa, and then on to now your own business. What made you have that entrepreneur mindset? I'm going to create my own business.
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I really feel like after opening several museums, after being in public TV at a time where media was being disrupted by individual creators and democratized, it felt like I had a lot of experience to offer nonprofits. So whether it was the public media teams that have hired me, or other nonprofits in Pittsburgh or museums across the country, I felt so much like that experience could be captured, because I have the ability to kind of see from a CEO standpoint and give them that advice, be kind of that whisper, that CEO whisperer when you need somebody to trust.
Exactly. So then you started it, and define what Hello Studios does.
Yeah. Hello Studios is so excited to tell stories. Really. And part of what we do is help people tell their stories. We help people, we help create the spaces and places for those stories to help the people in that space reach their maximum potential. So that means if we're working with a museum, it means that we get to talk about, okay, well, how do we develop that exhibit or that space for equity and inclusion, or that program for equity and inclusion? It might be just like a workshop I just gave. We talk about your leadership journey, how to tell your story, right? Doing a workshop where we find the ways that your leadership journey evolves and how to tell that story, because we all have these unique journeys to share. And I think through sharing our stories and using that as a marketing tool, using that as an education tool, using that as a tool for change is one of the most powerful things we can do.
Oh, it totally is. And it's kind of, you're different in the fact that you're really niching down in an area of education where you're bringing the story to people, but you understand it in a different way than other people do.
Well, I think what that raises a great thought for me, Neil, and that is educators themselves don't often like to tell their stories. Right?
Why is it?
They don't like to puff themselves up. They don't like to talk about how meaningful being in the classroom is, or how they can change a student. They often know after. And so for me, especially when you're a nonprofit and you're trying to raise funds, or you're at a gala and you need to say, this is our impact, that's just a special place that I can get people to and share that story out. But sometimes for those of us who are in the education industry, we might be the most humble and quiet about those stories, and yet they're some of the most powerful.
Is those bigger organizations like the ones you work for, is that who you try to work with?
I work with all sizes of organizations. I love startups. I've worked with a lot of startups, including tech startups and a high dosage tutoring startup in Pittsburgh as well, or their role right now is a startup. It's exciting to me to build things, but you know, I am also happy to work with the WGBHs and the TPTs of the world, right? They're just a joy, and they also look for outside expertise and use it well. So I'm happy to be in that game.
Do you think of yourself as a hybrid or a mixture of a PR and video production when you talk about Hello Studios?
No, I don't consider it a video production at all. As a matter of fact, I consider it really about the marketing, the development, the business case for why your services are needed, right? Why, who, you know, it's kind of Jim's like Jim Collins, like, what are you best in the world at? What is your story? And how do we tell that to other educators too, right? To other people who need to know, to the funders who need to know, to the constituents in your community that you could be partnering with. So I would say it's more of an escalation of message, but not necessarily through video.
Or PR. It's a little different in a way.
Definitely more, different.
So you're more talking about a brand story with, but really focusing on what your expertise is and your years of what you've been doing to partner with organizations like that, right? Yeah. Would you say you don't go out of ones that, when you say a tech company, it's got to be an education tech company, right?
Absolutely.
So it's got to be education. And do you also go in outside of education at all?
Not usually. The farthest afield that I went was with an education tech company, but they were a for-profit. And actually, this was so cool. They installed an immersive kind of AI museum exhibit. We were the first children's museum in Tampa to have that. And your body movements controlled the games and the learning.
I see.
And so I ended up doing some consulting for them, and they are fabulous. It's called Small Lab, in case you want to check it out.
Okay. So you definitely, but you have the contacts to the vendors or the museums or the different people based on the tech, if it's education based, or at least the connects to those places. Absolutely. To all you've worked, like you worked at PBS, you worked again at the Children's Museum in Florida. So you have, you've run into so many people in those experiences that you understand the campaigns. Example, we met on the campaign when St. Agnes was doing it with PBS. And what show was it? Remind me of the show. I forget.
IQ Smart Parent. That's the show I won the Emmy for. That was all about parenting and the intersection.
Oh, that was with you and Dr. Deb. But I think that was after that, because I was working with her at Bethel Park, but I knew you.
Yes.
Not with the IQ Smart Parent. I think it was involving something with one of the PBS shows or the public broadcasting shows with St. Agnes. I'll have to go back and think about that.
Yes.
But you understand those campaigns. You understand what these bigger organizations need when you're working with a startup and say,
absolutely,
you want to get in those places. You've been there, done it, and understand it. That's important.
Absolutely. And I would say the other piece is that it's really at an intersection of equity, right? My entire life, living it as a scientist, living it as an educator, I have been thinking about advocacy, belonging, diversity, and inclusion forever. So all of that storytelling is really meant to drive equitable landscapes, to drive that in education so that everyone can feel that education is their biggest lever for change.
Let's talk about fundraising now. That's what you talk about in the green room. Go into that real quickly with the math and science fundraising you're doing.
Yes. So I was a consultant and now also work for a national company that does STEM professional development. And it's my job, which I'm so privileged to do, to make sure they're sustainable. And that means I'm the director of development. That means I work with the corporations, the individual givers, the family foundations across the nation, so that if they're interested in STEM professional development, I'm the one that's talking to them and saying, hey, here's the unique value that we provide. And let me be the connector.
Yeah, I have a client, Dr. Christopher Goldberg, I have to introduce you to. He wrote a book about STEM, and it involves women in STEM. And he's really big into that. He's out of Philadelphia. He's a professor at Temple and stuff. Definitely have to connect you to him. But again, it's so amazing. And then look at STEM and STEAM and that whole thing, especially with what's happening with Tyler Perry and I'm forgetting who's involved with STEAM right now, but it's such an important thing. Science, mathematics, engineering, all that stuff. And now I guess what's defined STEAM, because they bring up STEAM. What else is STEAM? Because they say STEM and STEAM, which they brought up with somebody. I was a former CEO of Wells Fargo that's involved in the one of these foundations I was talking to, but it's amazing to see where it's going, but they need it. Education needs this because of AI, because of Web 3.0. Our kids need better technology or they're not going to survive.
Well, I want to make 2 points there. To your last point, I just did a workshop with educators where I talked about AI and why they are not using it. It took Pokemon Go days to reach 50 million users. Days. And AI was even behind that, but no teacher is using that. No teacher is using that to free up their time so they can personalize. They can have a chemistry lesson in 45 seconds.
I have a client I want to connect you to as well. Fabulingua, that's a language learning app involving gaming and teaching kids Spanish for early childhood area.
Oh, I love that.
Fabulingua.
Oh, that's fabulous. I can't wait to hear about them and learn about them. The second thing that I want to say to that is that, as you mentioned, you know, Tyler Perry and others, I have to really call out Gina Davis, who has learned about this intersection and done the research about the media and women, how they're represented, all of that, and just won an Emmy for that work. Has a show on that I've been close to called Mission Impossible. It's on Saturday mornings on television. And so the idea that you're raising is, where's our representation? Where can we see our own face? And right. how does our life proceed because we can see ourselves in a career?
Exactly.
She has championed that in television and movies for 20 years.
All right. Best place people can find information on you. Where can they go?
www.jenstancil.com.
All right, Jen, we appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much,
Neil. You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.